While they're going, you can turn to Genesis chapter 8. We'll be looking at the first 19 verses. I almost started reading Leviticus chapter 8. That would have been an interesting sermon. If I could have you stand for the reading of God's word. This is his word to you this morning. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the water subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed. The rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him to the ark. For the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him anymore. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all the flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word today that we get to study once again. We pray, God, that you would enliven our hearts to hear it once more. God, this story, Noah, the flood, Noah's ark, they are all familiar to many of us, to most of us even. But God, you have given us the story not just to remind us of your power, but to teach us this very day who you are, what you have done for us. So Father, we pray that you would, by your Spirit, renew it once more to our hearts and help us to be changed by it and by your Spirit, that we may be your people, set apart and holy to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When was the last time that you truly felt rest or restful? In what ways do you seek rest day to day? Do you search after rest in little things, in big things? Do you look forward to that one vacation a year that is just going to fulfill all that rest that you've ever wanted? And what happens when you get there? We often joke that vacations, you need a vacation from your vacation to recover, right? You need rest from the rest that you've scheduled, because we don't find rest that well. Well, in this passage, we see this same theme of rest. After all, Noah, His father named him Noah, kind of proclaiming, looking forward to the rest that Noah would bring in hopes that God would bring rest on the earth through Noah. And for the first time in this story, we see rest. Though it really isn't quite what we were expecting, or maybe what God's people would have expected. The few faithful, the few that were calling for God to rescue his people. God brought judgment. God wiped clean the earth and saved just a few. So what is rest? What should we expect from rest? How can we find rest in God and in what he calls us to? What kind of expectations should we as God's people look for? In this passage, we see that because God is working, and he's always working, both in the seen and the unseen, to bring about a particular salvation for his people, we are called to rest in him, to trust in him, and to boldly proclaim the hope that he is making all things new. Even as we experience brokenness and longing in this world, God is making all things new. Last time we studied Genesis, we saw this theme of decreation, the undoing of what God had done. And here we see a recreation. God is making all things new. And this morning we'll look at this passage in three ways. We'll see first a renewed creation. Second, we'll see this search, this longing for rest. And third, we'll find a faith and a future, both a faith that is present and a future that is hoped for. So let's look at these three points this morning as we dive into Genesis chapter 8. It's interesting there, the first verse we read again, but God. And anytime you see that phrase, anytime you see that signal, it's signaling something important, right? There's something new happening. It could have seemed to Noah that God had forgotten him, that God had forgotten his family and all the creatures as they waited upon the waters. After all, they waited a long time. The rains poured upon the ark for a long time. And it seemed as if God was silent. But God was still working. He was not silent. And here it says that God remembered Noah. He remembered his promise. And this phrase is really the first time this phrase is used in Scripture, but it happens regularly. It happens throughout Scripture that God remembers. It's this the beginning of a remnant theology, this theme that is throughout Scripture, that God remembers his people. And in remembering, it's not that God has forgotten in that sense, not that God has lost sight of Noah. But what it's signaling here, and commentators say that there is a theme every time we see this kind of remembrance, is that God is not just recalling what he has promised, but he is acting. In this phrase, the signal is saying that God is now moving towards, he is enacting his salvation that he has promised. So God has remembered Noah, and in that, God comes to Noah. God acts. God starts to fulfill what was needed in order to bring salvation. At the right time, God moves toward Noah in order to fulfill all his promises to him. And we see here that God does that by recreating the world. Again, we've seen those themes throughout Genesis so far. We saw it in the decreation, how it kind of went backwards. It undid what God did in Genesis 1 and 2 in creation. But we see again these themes here in Genesis 8. First, we see the waters, again, covering the surface of creation. This chaos, this tohu vavohu, this tumult of water. But then notice how it says that God caused a wind to blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. And actually, that word for wind is the same word for spirit, same word for breath that God uses there in Genesis 1 and 2, and then in the decreation, that same word of breath. It's the spirit, the spirit of God, the breath of God, the wind hovering over creation. If you think forward in time, think to the Israelites who would have received this from Moses. They also saw this powerful wind when Moses parted the Red Sea. You see this kind of recreation theme throughout scriptures that God implants his spirit in his people, and there's a new creation. So that's the first thing. We also see as the Spirit comes the resetting of the boundaries, right? God had, in creation, God had set boundaries for the water and had separated the waters from the earth. As the wind blows over the earth, the waters subsided and the fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed, and the rain from the heavens was restrained. So you see again the boundaries that God had set are being reinstated. God is recreating again. Later on in this narrative, we see this new garden in a way. We see life, not life that Noah had planted, not cultivation, but providence, the providence of God. God was creating out of this death a new world, a new creation, a new garden. As the dove goes out and finds an olive leaf, there's new life. And then the final way that we see this reflection of creation is in God's blessing to be fruitful and multiply at the end of this section. So really here in these 19 verses here, we see again a creation, a recreation. That God is once again causing his world to be made new, fresh. And in that you find this first theme of rest, of hope. Though, even here, we recognize that it is not the full rest that we long for. It's not the full redemption. God has brought judgment upon the world, but the problem of sin remains. As Noah was named by his father, this calling forth, this hope of rest, that Noah would bring rest. Lamech, his father said, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us rest from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. In a way, that's true. In a way, we see that kind of rest happening, this refreshing of the earth. But it's not full. This isn't Eden. The problem of sin still exists. And so, even in the recreation, there is a longing for rest, true rest. True hope. And that brings us to our second point this morning, the search for rest, finding rest. We don't know, we get this picture of a raven and dove, and we don't know if the raven and the dove had more symbolic significance. It's possible that there is significance there that has been lost or not revealed to us yet. However, what we do see in this passage is that the raven and the dove go out and they explore. They go out into God's creation. And this actually tells us some significant things about what God was doing. First, we see the raven that went out. And it says it went out to and fro until it found dry land. It's wandering, looking for rest, looking for God's providence, searching for it in expectation. As a creature of God's design, it was created to search for and to seek out a place to live, a place to rest, a place to dwell. And out of its natural instincts, but even more than that, by God's hand, by God's providence, we see that this raven has gone out into the world to look for a place to rest. And it goes and it searches and searches until it finds the rest. John Calvin points out that this raven was a carrion animal. It's looking for food, looking for something to eat. In that way, it reminds us that this new creation came out of the death of the old one. Where do we find rest? Are we trying to find it in this broken world? Are we trying to go to and fro from thing to thing, searching for that thing that will satisfy us, that thing that will make us feel whole? If we're looking for it in this world, we will always be disappointed. The raven here is a picture of searching for, of longing for something that really cannot be fulfilled, this search for something that is born out of death. We don't find satisfaction in this world. We don't find it in the things that this world has to offer. And yet our hearts are always pulled towards the things of this world. We are created to search for rest. And yet, there is hope here as well. As God brings a home for this raven, that's not the only picture that we see. We also see the picture of the dove that Noah sends forth. First, Noah sends out this raven, and it's flying around, and it seems like it's not finding any hope for Noah. And perhaps that's the reason why Noah also sent out this dove, because the dove goes out and searches and doesn't see dry land. It doesn't see a place to rest. So it returns to Noah. And Noah waits, right? He waits upon God. He waits upon God's providence. And then again, he sends out the dove, and the dove goes out and finds an olive leaf, returns to Noah. He brings back with him a sign of God's providence, that God is working. Even though Noah in the ark can't see what God is doing, he can't fully see the providence of God, he can only trust. And this small providence of God, this leaf, is a blessing to him. And so he waits again. And finally, Noah sends out the dove a third time, and the dove does not return. It's good news for Noah, right? Good news that Noah has been waiting for. You can see here how many times God talks about, he reveals this imagery of the earth drying up, it being ready, being fruitful, being habitable, being a place where his creatures can live, dwell, find that kind of rest. It's almost calling back to creation, the seventh day when God rested from all his work. Creation was ready to be dwelled in, to be enjoyed. And we see that same kind of imagery here as the dove goes out from Noah and finds that same kind of habitation, though not quite like Eden, not perfect and holy. It is still good. It is a place to find God's temporary rest. When the dove does not return, it shows Noah that God has provided, that God has been faithful to his creation once more, providing a home. Though not without sin, though the Messiah has not yet come to demolish the power of sin, yet there is a home that would sustain God's creation. And more importantly, that it would provide this foundation for the story of redemption. God was being faithful. God was providing once more for his people and for his creation. Noah here is a picture of Christ, the one who brings God's people through the flood of God's wrath, the flood of God's judgment. Noah knew that there was no other way for rescue, for being saved from God's wrath, but to obey and to live as God commanded. He's a picture of Jesus, who took the penalty for our sin, the one who is our vessel, bearing the wrath of God. Just as the ark took the beating of God's wrath, so too Jesus takes our punishment and carries us through. We've seen those themes in the past several weeks as we studied Genesis, but here we see even more. We see not only that God has taken us through, but God has provided now after going through judgment, there is hope. There is rest. Just like the raven and the dove, our rest in this world is incomplete, but that's the reason why Jesus calls us to find rest in himself. He said in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the hope that Noah was clinging onto in the ark, and this is the hope that we are called to trust in, called to rest in God's faithfulness and his promises that are sure. This leads us to our final point this morning, a faith and a future. It took a lot of faith for Noah and his family to trust in God all the way through this ordeal of the flood. The flood lasted a whole year. Whether you count it by different calendars, it's not sure how long the flood lasted, but it lasted at least a year. And so we see that God was bringing Noah and his family through this trial, through this ordeal, over a long time. It was not just a couple weeks of waiting, of longing for rest, of hoping and trusting in God. They were waiting for a long time. Could have been discouraging, could have been fearful at times, hoping, trusting in God that God had not forgotten them. I think we recognize this kind of feeling in our own lives too. As we're going through our various trials and tribulations that God leads us through, as we ourselves are united with Christ and take up our cross and follow him, we too experience this waiting, the anguish of trusting and not knowing what God is doing in our lives. But God has a purpose in His timing. God has a purpose in making us wait and making us trust in Him. The full year of the flood signified a complete reset for the world, right? God's judgment that He brought upon the world was necessary. We need God's full justice. We've talked about that before, but we also need God's presence as we experience God working to bring about justice in our lives, to bring justice for us in Christ. We need God to be with us. We see here that God has not forgotten Noah, that God is with them even in the storm. And you see that because Noah waits, right? Noah waits for God. There's this expectation as Noah and his family are in the ark that they are trusting in God. They are resting in faith. They don't just leave the ark as soon as possible, as soon as the raven has left or the dove has left, they wait. Again, they're waiting for the right time. God calls Noah and his family and all of the creatures out of the ark. So we see that God is with His people. It's by His command that the world begins again. We see that through this command that God doesn't just command because it is His desire, but He commands and gives the ability as well. God commands the animals to come out to be fruitful and multiply, but God also gives the fruits and the multiplication. He gives the providence and the care and the kindness to His world. We'll look at this more in the coming weeks as God makes this new covenant with Noah, this providential covenant, this care and loving covenant, which really sets the foundation for common grace in this world. All of this is done by His command and by His care. And so because God commands and cares for us, it produces two things in us. It produces faith, and it produces a future. It produces a hope for a future. It produces faith in us because we can't always see what God is doing, but we can see that God is working. Our trust in God is strengthened in our lives as we turn over control, as we turn over our holding on to things over to God. As we look to God for His provision. It's easy in our lives when things are going well, when we think that we're in control, to kind of take the steering wheel, take the reins, to try to direct things as we see fit. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. God has created us to rule and to live our lives, to pursue things out of the good reflection of who He is. And yet too often we forget that it is God who is sovereign over these things. It's God who wills in our lives to do. And so as we live our lives, we often forget that it is by His hand that we are guided, that we are able. We see by Noah's example that God, in His provision, through the trial, through the hard things in life, that He causes us to turn over that control to Him. Rest is not just finding satisfaction, not just finding peace in our lives, having enough to eat or having pleasure in our work and in our leisure time, but it is ultimately finding our rest in God's sovereignty. It's having faith. True rest comes from faith and knowing that God is in control. God knows what we need. He's working both sides of the problem, removing our self-dependency and providing a God dependency. He leads us through our lives, providing exactly what we need so that we find our need in Him. So God produces a faith in us. And secondly, and this leads to a confidence in God, right? This confidence that He will do as He promised. He's not overwhelmed by the flood, but brings us through the flood. He's standing with us right now, even as we suffer, as we grieve, as we cry for justice in this world. He's standing with us right now, even as we rest in His merciful providences. All things are by His hand for our good and for our rest. Ultimately, our faith in Him. This is something that we wrestle with, something that we long to know more fully, but by God's grace, He is not done with us yet. He will teach us every day as we seek Him, as we rest in Him, as we long for Him. He will teach us of His faithfulness, building in us a confidence to trust in Him. The second thing that God gives us, besides faith and this confidence that we have in His care, is that God gives us a future. God gives us a hope. We know that God will provide what we need, and so we also trust in Him that He will provide the way in which we are to follow Him to that ultimate fulfillment. God doesn't just provide the future, but He also provides the way to get there. Our future is tied with the present. God is not just holding up for us heaven as a place that we will finally get to when He's done working His story in this world. No, heaven is tied to us right now. Our hope is tied to where we are right now because God is working in us right now to bring us to that eternal rest. If God gives us the hope, He will also give us the path, the means. And if God gives us the means, He will also give us the place to use the means, the ability to follow Him. God calls His people, as He called Noah, not just to go out into the world and to rest and to find fulfillment, not just to be those who are called by the name of God, but also to proclaim the name of God, to live as God's people. The future hope that we have and the present faith that we share cause us to look for ways that God has called us to follow Him here and now, to use our gifts and our resources. Reminded that God loves to invite us into His work, right? God provided a new creation for Noah. God provided a new creation for all of these animals, and yet God also calls them to a task. God calls Noah to be faithful in all His promises, to continue to live as those in the line of God's faithful ones, looking forward to that day where he will provide ultimate salvation in Christ. It's a call for us today to put our trust and our hope in God, to look to God for our salvation and to walk in that salvation. It's a call for us to examine our hearts once more. If you have not trusted in Christ for your salvation, what are you looking for? Where else can you find salvation and rest? Where else can you find a future and a hope? God has proven over and over again that he is faithful to his promises. All of our work, all of our lives, though we are working and drawing closer to God, all of that is secondary. All of that is a result of what God has done. Secondary to God's promises and his fulfillment in Christ. It isn't us, it's not we who make our way towards God. It's not us trying to earn our way or to get better and better in some kind of attempt to make God pleased with us, trying to earn our salvation. No, God has already given us salvation. He's already given us rest. And the ultimate rest and future that we have is the satisfaction of our whole selves, our whole being, being united with Christ, being brought into that estate of full and perfect unity with Christ. As we look forward to that future hope, we know that it is sure because God has done it. While we may see only by faith now, and while that faith turns to confidence in our hearts, turns to trust in our hearts, ultimately we look to God who has been faithful so far. But God will steadily and surely make his promised blessing come true. He will lead us home. It is this reason, it is in this, like Noah, that we can trust, that we can be found faithful in Christ as we rest in faith, as we find our final and true rest in Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this image, this picture of Noah, this story that tells us of your faithfulness and your promises, that tell us of the rest that we are longing for day by day. It tells us that it is only found in you. God, show us once more. Draw us closer to you, that we might find that rest, that find that eternal satisfaction in Christ. And God, while we wait, while we are still going through the trials and tribulations of this world, we thank you and praise you that you go with us, that you have not left us alone, that all things are by your command and by your providence. You are using all things for our good. For all things must work together for our salvation, for our good. For those who are called in Christ according to your purposes, according to your promises. It is in you that we rest. In you that we will find our satisfaction, both now and in eternity. We pray and we hope and we long. In Christ's name, amen.